Welcome to From Out of the City for May the 6th, 2006. My name is William F. DeVault. I'm sometimes referred to as the romantic poet of the internet. I promised and will deliver this week my Mother's Day special. Yes, I know we're a week early, but my deadline runs so close I didn't want to cheat anyone. Now, somebody asked me the other day, a Mother's Day special, you don't write a lot of poems about mothers. Well, that's not 100% true. I don't write a lot of poems about motherhood, but considering the fact that the vast majority of my works are written about women, and many of those women are mothers, one of them even through me, I do write a lot of poems about mothers. So this week is a celebration of women who are mothers, but also happen to be women. A long time ago, there was a book that came out by an author named Ellen Peck called The Baby Trap. And in that book, Ms. Peck, in summary, took the position that women should be free to choose not to be mothers, because when you become a mother, you stop being a woman. I've always considered that a load of rubbish. Some of the sexiest women I know are mothers, and I'm sure that Brad Pitt would be inclined to say that Angelina Jolie is still, to some degree, womanly and attractive, despite the fact she's an adoptive mother and about to give birth to a baby. But that's just my opinion. First up, a little poem of mine called Gibbous, which was written to my first wife, Jan. Jan is the mother of my three children, Paralandra, Elric, and Dante. And I do not think in any way, shape, or form that her being a mother has diminished in any way, shape, or form her womanliness. I think in many ways it makes her more of a woman. The shameless moon, illuminating all the sins I imagined with you, scheming, dreaming of the frail silk-made window to the touch of my eyes as you crossed the room into my arms, into my soul, into my night. And I thanked the moon for the pale blue curve of your breasts. And who could, for one moment, deny the romantic essence of a poem about being a part of a couple with children? In my poem from the Golden Heart Cycles, Bare Feet on a Wooden Floor. I ate a daisy today to settle a bet between my child and my wife if I could or would. Daddy is not so ancient that he has forgotten the value of play in the lurking wild of a newly discovered world. Mommy has been patient, but loves and lives for and with this world, and late at night, while our children sleep, goes on a date with me in the kitchen, dancing strange emotions stored in cookie jar hearts that never break. Bare feet on a wooden floor. And how can we persist if we do not discuss the Panther Cycles? I know that the child that the panther has had, I know she's had at least one since our parting, is not mine. But to her, a huge part of her sexual identity as a woman was tied into the notion of being a mother one day. And I rejoice in the fact that she was able to fulfill that dream. And at the time of the writing of the final Panther Cycle, there was a fantasy of the perfect married life with the perfect children. And one of the final poems in the Panther Cycles, from the 93rd Panther Cycle, was called I Dared to Dream of Night Blooming Jasmine. You rose early this morning and walked the familiar furrows in the carpet to stand, as you do every morning, and watch first light enter her room. If I am awake, I hear you draw a deep breath, awestruck and marveling at the feelings that flood you as you see her sleep, like the promised angel of a distant fantasy, dreaming of a fist full of wildflowers once given to you. Your smile blossomed then like the night-blooming jasmine, stealing the wind to take dreams into the sky to paint other people's destinies. But none shall find a heaven half as holy as I have found in your arms. The reference to the wildflowers in that poem came from an earlier poem in the Panther Cycles, from the 53rd Panther Cycle, Cassiopeia's Garden. Cassiopeia was supposed to be the name of our daughter if we had one. And this poem was written from the standpoint of Cassiopeia, pondering flowers that she had picked for her mother. Fistfuls of color to give to my mother, to show her I love her. Yes, it's a short poem. It's actually the second shortest piece I ever wrote. To find the other one, you'll just have to go looking for it. So there's a brief spectrum of them. People ask me why I haven't written more poems about my mother. Well, first off, the palette I work from is mostly that of passion, Plutonic passion. Freud would have a field day if I started writing a bunch of poems about my mom. And I really don't feel like giving psychiatrists any more of a whack at me than they've already had in this life. Secondly, I'm not terribly conflicted about my mother, and conflict drives a lot of my writing. Most good art comes from conflict, and the conflict that drives me is the dichotomy between the spiritual and the genital, shall we say. And I don't feel that conflict regarding my mother. She's a good person. I have great respect for her. We differ on many issues. But she's still my mom. And I'm not conflicted in my affections towards her. I do not feel like I have to choose between her and God, which I've had some women in my life who kind of put it in that framework. And it's been a difficult line to walk some days, which it shouldn't be, but that's my cross to bear, so to speak. One of my more often overlooked muses, totem muses, is the Mad Gypsy, sometimes just referred to as the Gypsy. One of the few muses who proudly allows her real name to be used in my writings, and that's Carla Frances Sasser, a fine poet in her own right. She is a mother as well. Her children were born before I entered her life, and her dedication to her children has been very admirable over the years. But this poem has nothing to do with her motherhood, but it's from my Anamnesis series, which appears in my book From an Unexpected Quarter. And it's called Anamnesis 7, The Gypsy, sometimes referred to as Empaths Should Not Touch. Empaths should not touch, and were I to have known this when miles closed to inches, I would still have embraced the fire I was to be branded by. He heat generated by resonances like the slip of fissionable material so close that you could see the glow of the reaction forming, warming the room with a deadly light. But in the 20 hours or so that the incandescence raged in Venice, we both knew the exhilaration of a fear of intimacy that could consume us like a firestorm. It was best that you saw the danger and pushed away before the words matched the deeds and the world would fold upon itself as Shiva was invoked from passions provoked. Empaths should not touch. But the curved brand that marks my hand's first touch of shy face and perfect breasts is an honor I will carry to my grave and beyond. What we have next is a curious piece. Sometimes when I write, I do not know who or what I'm writing about, but I leave myself little tender clues. And this one, there are clues enough for me to make assumptions. Of my muses, Bridget, whom I sometimes refer to as just the goddess, is a mother. I am not father to her children. She's a good mother. She's a good person. She's a great inspiration. She's a wonderful woman. And not that long ago, this poem came to me and I wrote it out. And it's merely called The Goddess Walks. The goddess walks in her garden, unaware that the sun is waiting her whim, grim moments lending impetus to joy, a royal smile on lips known to taste tears. Somewhere in the distance, where dark gives way to gray and time holds sway, only for those foolish enough to mark it, a troubadour plays a sweet and barren ode. She shall serve as sacrifice. When forgotten gods of love and lust call for their avatar, surrendering her heart to rule a land measured only in how far I will walk in dreamless sleep between now and the end of all things. Making words into wonders for as long as there is language for a song. For sacrifice empowers dreamers and lovers, that which hovers between birth and death, a baby's breath in colors resplendent, transcendent for all things, even pain, as the power of light and shadows weaves threnodies into amomancies, and nothing is regent but her will. For I have waited this long for this song of stone and clay and fire and water, this song of memory and hope, praying for transfiguration as an act of will, left behind as the kill of a Nosferatu's rage, laying page to wound to stem the fire that shall not serve as Uranus' legacy. Remember, if you know a mother, if you're involved with a mother, whether she be your wife or your girlfriend, she's a human being too. She's a woman too. And the way she got to be a mother was not exactly not in the physical plane. Women, mothers, are lovers and friends. Creatures of need and desire, of heart, of hope, of dreams, of romance. If you have a mother in your life, and I don't mean your mother, this Mother's Day, be aware of the fact that she's still a woman. She'll appreciate that. Have a great week. This is William F. DeVault. Again, speaking to you from the City of Legends at www.cityoflegends.com. And this has been From Out of the City.